Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. What's going on? Hope you had a nice holiday. Hope you had a great weekend of watching football. We are here for you today. We're here till 8 a.m. as usual on a Texans Monday, even though the Texans played on Wednesday of last week, which threw everything off for me and others. But we're here now, man. We're back on a normal schedule on a normal week.
And we're ready to fight.
We're ready to rock, man.
Amon Thompson.
Thank you, Amon Thompson, for getting our game faces on last night.
Yeah,
that was good. We hadn't seen... good morning, by the way. How are you? I missed you.
I'm good.
Yeah, it's been a few days.
Yeah, it's been a weird... It's weird. That Wednesday game threw me for a loop more than I thought it would.
Dude.
Yesterday I had to remind myself. I was just kind of humming along, doing my stuff. And then... And because I had watched football on Saturday, it kind of caught me by surprise at noon that, oh, wait, there's football again today.
Yeah, it's wild.
Kind of. There's very few meaningful games left.
No, but it was American football on television, and we watched it. It was so that was fun. Yeah, the Rockets last night. Man, we hadn't had one of those with them in a while. Remember last year where it felt like every other game there was some sort of Pier 6 brawl during it at some point?
Yeah. It was one of those things where, okay, they're making some progress here and they're doing some good things. But a lot of times we were just happy to have a fight.
Yeah.
Whereas yesterday I'm kind of like, well, yeah, the fight's good and all, but also I would have liked to beat the Heat.
Yeah, Tyler Hero got hand in that whole thing. Man, as I'm watching it, I'm like, he is the guy that can point at the scoreboard. For those who missed it, if you weren't up last night watching the Rockets, they lost to the Miami Heat. So they've lost two straight now, and they've blown big leads in both games. Minnesota game on Friday, they blew a 16-point lead midway through the fourth quarter. That was bad.
Yeah.
That was really bad. Last night was a 12-point lead. They were down at the half. They went on a big run in the third quarter to take a 12-point lead. And the way the Rockets have played this year, Seth, it was like, I was like, okay, well, this is one of those teams they just take care of business against, and this will be just fine. And then the Heat went on a run. It was back and forth. It was a very defensive game. You know, game finished, I think both teams were under 100 in that game. But the big story was at the end of the game, as the referees were losing control, specifically Mark Davis was losing control of that game, Amon Thompson decided to grab Tyler Hero by the lapels and just toss him to the ground.
With great force and ferocity.
Yes.
It was so leading into it, it was there. The Rockets were down by four coming out of timeout. The 47 seconds left. Fred VanVleet is having trouble inbounding the ball, calls a timeout, and the official, Mark Davis, doesn't see him call a timeout.
Yeah, he calls him for a 5-second violation.
So he calls him for a 5-second violation, and Fred VanVleet says, Sir, I called the timeout. And Mark Edwards says, there will be no objections. You will not question my authority. And he tossed Fred VanVleet, or he gave him a technical. He tossed him.
Yeah, he tossed
And then within a few seconds, Amon Thompson's scrumming it up with Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
I would say it was just they were nobody at fault necessarily, or they were both grabbing at each other. And then Amon Thompson was guilty of just making Tyler Hero look like a toddler.
Well, Thompson.
Not that you would ever throw a toddler to the ground
No.
But, you know, let's pretend it's 1947 or something.
He was.
You know, back when that was a discipline that you might have.
Right. Back when it was okay.
Yeah.
So
back when that was just good parenting.
Mm-hmm. So, So, and then it turned into a big scrum. Nobody left the bench. It was all scrums with guys that were on the floor. You leave the bench, you're getting popped for big-time suspensions these days.
Jalen Green was... It's so hard to... There's so many things going on when you watch it. Jalen Green was shoved to the ground and had somebody on top of him.
Yeah.
And, like, it was actually kind of scary for him because there's all kinds of feet around and everything.
Yeah.
Şengün was kind of being a peacemaker. It was a big old scrum.
Yeah,
so it wasn't... Would you call it a fight?
It was a fight by 2024 NBA standards. You know, like it's very rarely do fists get thrown in these things anymore. You know,
Aziz Alshire wasn't out there.
No. But Amen
Thompson. Aziz will punch a dude.
No, but Amen Thompson made a good case to get put into the circle of swarm this Friday. There are no Texans to put in there after the performance on Christmas.
He's one of the swarmiest guys out there in Houston sports. He plays ferociously on defense.
Definitely one of the swarmiest guys in the NBA. He's getting a lot of love right now for like defensive player of the year type stuff, first team all defense. So that was kind of fun. You know, it was not fun that they lost, and it's not fun that they've lost two in a row. They're a relevant NBA team. They've been sitting at the two seed for the last couple weeks. We'll have audio from everybody involved a little bit later in headlines with that. But that was, in case you were going to bed early last night and you missed it, if you're up with us this morning and you're on vacation, we thank you for that. If you're up with us this morning and who farted? If you're up with us this morning and you're on your way into work, good for you. You know, I would recommend getting a job where they don't, you know, you don't have to go into work today or whatever. But we're here for you. We're here for you for the next couple hours. All right. So the Texans open as 3-point underdogs in Tennessee this coming weekend. The lines are out on week 18 of the NFL. And there's going to be some weird lines because there's a handful of teams that don't have anything to play for. There's a handful of teams that have no playoff positioning to play for. There's a handful of teams that whose fan bases, at least, would rather they lose than win. Makes it a little more difficult to handicap. This Texans opening as a 3-point underdog in Tennessee this coming weekend seems to be a line to me. And I know the Titans beat the Texans back in Week 12. I get that. They beat them 32-27 at NRG Stadium. That was a game where the Texans had a pick six and eight sacks and still managed to find a way to lose to the Titans. Thank you, Kymie Fairbairn, for missing a field goal. But I would say even with that loss to the Titans in Week 12, and even as poorly as the Texans have been playing, and make no mistake, they played their worst game of the D'Amico Ryans era on Christmas Day. That was their worst performance of the year. That might have been their worst performance under D'Amico Ryans. They didn't score any offensive points, and they lost 31-2. The Texans being a 3-point underdog at Tennessee is indicative of a line, at least, Seth, where Vegas is expecting the Texans to rest a lot of guys in this game.
I would say, I think it's a combo of them expecting to rest a lot of guys, but that also the Texans offense with nobody resting the other night looked wholly inept. And that there's probably a combo of, okay, the Titans had the Texans number last time they played them, but then also, if everybody rests, then it's gonna be even worse.
I would say, if anything, the Titans beating the Texans last time in NRG Stadium would factor positively. If this were a game that weren't in Week 18, let's pretend this was 2 weeks later, like last year's Titans game was.
I would
think, if anything, because you look at that game and everything in the box score, other than two massive plays by the Titans, everything in the box score, if you put your hand over the final score, you would have said, okay, well, the Texans won this game. You know what I mean? Like they had a pick six in this game. They sacked Will Levis 8 times in this game. So I think this thing, you're right. I mean, any line is a combo of things. It's never just one thing.
Yeah.
But I would say there's zero chance that the Texans would be an underdog in Tennessee unless Vegas thought C.J. Stroud wasn't going to play in this game.
Yeah, if this was a game that mattered or what have you. And honestly, I'm at the point now where, all right, for several weeks I've been saying, man, they got to get something right with this offense. They got to figure it out. Okay, I know that the game of the Ravens might ultimately not matter that much. Maybe they don't even have a chance at the 3 seed, but I'd like them to possibly get the 3 seed and that they got to figure some things out offensively. That ship has sailed. That train has left that the station.
Yeah.
The baby carriage is rolling down the hill. The best thing you can do right this moment is
what's with you wanting to toss babies and roll them down hills this morning?
I don't know.
Was there a baby at your Christmas festivities this past week that bothered you, or a toddler?
No. No, the youngest child that I interacted with was 10 years old, and okay. We had a delightful conversation.
It's just interesting to me.
About
all.
Cows.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're good. No, I don't know. I don't know. I was struggling to come up with a third analogy, and since the baby was fresh in my mind.
I got you.
The toddler was fresh in my
just
mind.
Checking. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, groups of three. It's always good to do things in groups of three. So, or do a thing to a three-year-old, toss a three-year-old.
Right.
So, So that ship has sailed, and the best thing you can do at this moment is at the very least get CJ as healthy as possible, get him rested. That game, and we'll talk about this later, you know, going back and watching, it's so frustrating because it's multiple things at multiple positions right now that they're tiny things here and there, but it all adds up to... It all adds up to a huge mess.
That.
Right, like, okay, man, if you could have held the pass protection for an eighth of a second longer, if Laremy Tunsil, like, we'll just say the missed opportunity to Dalton Schultz in the flat in that game. So CJ's throwing the check down, but Dalton Schultz stays in to try to pick up the blitz. Meanwhile, Laremy Tunsil is getting trucked backwards like he's a three-year-old. And that's just enough to delay the timing. If he had just gotten trucked back 6 inches less, that's probably a completion. Or if CJ maybe just maneuvers a little bit or makes the decision that much faster, it's a big completion and a first down.
Mm-hmm.
But you compound all of this, and especially now without Tank Dell or Stephon Diggs out there, there's just not enough speed on the field.
No.
There's just not enough speed, and it delays everything. And a couple of the sacks that CJ took... On the TV copy, I thought, all right, well, that's CJ's fault. He's got to get rid of the ball. And then you look and you see him like, man, all right, well, he's just waiting for Cade Stover to clear throw. He can throw to Xavier Hutchinson. Like, so many instances like that. It's all these little micro fractions that add up to a disaster. And the only thing I can think of to fix that right now is, A, play Deontay Johnson because
yeah.
he's fast.
Yep.
And B, just get CJ as healthy as possible in the next 2 weeks.
Well, and so does that change your opinion? I know we got to get to a break here. Does that change it? Because there's rumors of him being banged up now. Does that change your opinion of him? Play? You wanted him to play in this Tennessee game. Do you want him to play in this Tennessee game now?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I just, not after that debacle from Wednesday. That, I won't even call it Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know how much, I'm with you on that. Like, so you and I are both thinking, like, I got to get these things fixed. What do you fix? How do you fix something that's been systemic for 17 weeks and 60 minutes against the Titans?
Yeah, is the offensive line all of a sudden going to be just nails at picking up games?
Yeah.
Is CJ going to be healthy? Is Xavier Hutchinson going to be faster? Or John? Like, it's all such a mess that the only thing you can do right now is just try to rest up and get as healthy as possible.
Well, they're practicing at 11:30 today. It's been a long weekend, so they are practicing today. And D'Amico Ryans meets with the media at 12:15. So we'll get some answers today, I would imagine.
I would say lay off doing like 16 half-gassers at the end of practice.
Yes.
Just go ahead and taper down for the playoffs.
Take it down. All right, we're off and running.
Taper down.
Yeah. Yep, we're off and running on a Monday. Good to be with you. We got you covered here all week long on sports. Seth and I are in all week. So we got you covered all week long here on Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. If you were watching football this weekend, you saw a Stephon Diggs commercial. I promise you saw it. Was this shade at the Texans? We will play it for you coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so the Texans, this is the situation. The Texans are 3-point underdogs in Tennessee. As we talked about in the open, that would seem to be a line that would indicate that your starting quarterback is not playing in that game. The Titans are one of the worst five or six teams in football. As bad as the Texans have played recently, and by recently I mean on Christmas, as bad as they played offensively all season long, they should not be an underdog to the Tennessee Titans on any field anywhere, including what will probably be a hapless, lifeless Nashville on Sunday. So there's that. Here's where they're at, Seth, with the playoffs and the standings. They cannot change their lot in life. They are now the four seed. That losing to the Ravens cemented that. They are the four seed in the postseason. There is a 75% chance. That sounds a little high to me, by the way. A 75% chance that they face the Steelers in the opening round of the playoffs. And the reason I say that sounds high to me, the Steelers play the Bengals in Week 18. The Bengals are one of the hottest teams in football right now. If the Steelers lose and the Chargers beat, I believe they play the Raiders. They do. Yeah. They play the Raiders, which feels like an incentivized Chargers team. As hard as the Raiders have been playing under Antonio, they're bad, but they've been playing hard under Antonio Pierce. That doesn't sound like something that has a 25% chance of happening, like the Steelers losing and the Chargers winning. The Chargers play a bad team. The Steelers play what I think is a good team, or the Bengals are a good team right now. They've won four in a row, and they are scoring points out the wazoo. That said, the computers are saying it's 75%. I would say it's the favorite, but 75% sounds a little bit high to me.
Right, so it's let's just say it's a toss-up between those
Chargers,
two teams.
Steelers,
it's going to be one of those. I do. There's a part of me that, if you want to make it as simple as the quarterbacks and his style of play and everything else goes with that, Russell Wilson's just still got too many blemishes in his game.
Yeah.
And that overall, even though they've done some good things offensively, I don't think it's anything that they can bank on. The fear would be, all right, but Russell Wilson to George Pickens, they've unleashed some bombs versus some good defenses, and the Texans' defense will generally play really, really well, except for the plays where they play atrociously.
Yeah.
And I could totally envision George Pickens having two long touchdowns against the Texans. But on the sum total of it, I just respect Justin Herbert more as a quarterback. And, you know, both those. The Chargers defense is good, but the Steelers defense is the Steelers defense. That's the only thing that swings me back over towards the Pittsburgh side.
Well, I think a big thing with Pittsburgh is the games at NRG Stadium. If they play the Chargers, it'll be a home field advantage. If they play the Steelers, it's going to be half the crowd's going to be Steeler fans.
Yeah, oh, good call.
And I'm with you. Like, in the grand scheme of things, I think I'd rather play Pittsburgh and Russell Wilson. Especially, I'm probably a little traumatized after watching from beginning to end the Chargers and the Patriots, because it was our good friend Ross Tucker doing the color commentary on that game. Watched the entire game. The Chargers just steamroll a bad Patriots team. So I'm like, ooh, this doesn't look like a team I'd want to play in the first round of the playoffs right now if I'm the Houston Texans. That's the only thing that's keeping me a little bit tentative about the Steelers is just what it's going to be the complete opposite of what the wild card round game was last year against the Browns, where it was one of those environments for Texan fans where you were like, wow, they're back. This feels like 2011 all over again.
What is the percentage chance that it's the Ravens? It's like 5%.
It's like 5%, right? Yeah.
Okay, we need that. I need that ticket to come in. If it's the Ravens, I cannot handle the week leading up to that game and the amount of pessimism and or just flat out apathy we're going to get from our listeners, or just the appropriate and justified doom and gloom that it would be if it was going to be the Ravens.
Yeah, we're already in a pretty strange
place. It's a pretty
place.
Doomy and gloomy
place. It's already, regardless of who the opponent is. This offense has people very angry right now. I don't know if Stephon Diggs is angry or if he's just having fun, but if you missed it, Stephon Diggs, and we played some audio last week. Stephon Diggs is occupying his time these days doing two things: rehabbing his knee injury and doing Domino's commercials. You know, the commercials for the emergency pizza that Domino's likes to provide. He's providing, what is it, a million emergency pizzas or something like that to people over the course of the holiday football season here. This was a commercial Domino's did yesterday. Listen to the very end where the Domino's delivery lady brings up, seemingly, the Texans' offense.
When you order Domino's online, we'll give you a free pizza to use in the future.
Out for the season, Stephon Diggs will have to watch this one from home.
So you'll have an emergency pizza when you need it most.
Was there a baby
only at Domino's
Christmas festivities?
They really miss you out there, huh?
Tell me about it.
Hang on. Okay, that was that.
We're
that
playing.
Audio
that was the. That was a commercial added to you asking me about me hating babies.
Yeah. Jordan, it sounds like the opening segment is playing underneath that audio.
When you order Domino's online, we'll give you a free pizza to use in the future.
Out for the season, Stephon Diggs will have to watch this one from home.
So you'll have an emergency pizza when you need it most.
Thank you.
All good?
Only at Domino's.
They really miss you out there, huh?
Tell me about it.
Oh!
Tell me about
they
it.
They really miss you out there.
What the hell, Stephon?
Tell me about it.
It only took until the second to last day of the year. Well, yesterday was the third to last day of the year for Stephon Diggs to say something, this time on traditional media, not social media,
right,
that might be considered divisive. If this is a team where people actually were even checked in emotionally right now, they would be irate about this. That's messed up. It's messed up.
You're right. It was a good litmus test yesterday. I'm like, ooh, when I saw that commercial, I'm like, oh, what's X saying about this right now? And there were a few people. They were like, hey, here's a thing that Stephon Diggs was not getting a lot of, Seth. Pushback on his opinion and his take about the second, about the Texans offense.
I'd love to argue with you, but yeah, it's kind of, especially with Tank Dell gone.
Yes.
And my big impression after watching the offense, you know, rewatching that game, which was a miserable experience, was, man, there's just not a lot of speed out there.
No.
Everything is plodding and slow and gunky, and it sure would be nice to have Tank, because Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs, whether they were producing or not, like at a high level, it was a problem for defenses. There's a lot of speed to be accounted for when those guys are out on the field.
Well, you know who was producing at a super, super high level with the two of them out there? Nico Collins.
Yeah.
You
good
know,
point, Sean.
Nico Collins. And Nico's still, you know, he's still, you know, 3 catches, 60 yards, 74 yards. But since coming back, he's had one 100-yard game.
Well, and there's just there have been too many drops by Nico.
Yeah.
It's not like he all of a sudden has horrible, horrible hands or anything, but there have been some big strikes that he's had opportunities to make in the last couple of weeks that he didn't make. Everything feels like you're running on fumes right now. And yes, they could use Stephon Diggs' speed out there. I could do without his shots at how bad they look without him. Dang it.
I was surprised by that. Watching that commercial, I'm like, did he basically just say, yeah, they sure do miss me?
You know how these shoots go. They probably had him read off 20 different lines, and that was the one that they liked, and it worked. I mean, he would have, I don't know, man.
Was he paying attention to all the lines he was reading? Like, literally, he just said, tell me about it.
He's got this reputation as a diva, and he doesn't want to be a diva, so he's like, I'm not going to sit here on the commercial set and say no. No, director, I will not read that line.
That's true. He didn't want to be a commercial diva.
So he ends up being a diva to his old team pointing out how miserable it is without him.
Does this affect at all your desire to have Stephon Diggs back as a Houston Texan next year?
No, I'm not worried about
it. Me neither. Beggars can't be choosers. They probably will not. It looks like they won't have Tank Dell next year. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get guys. You need at least one other guy a defense respects, and actually that applies to this game against Tennessee in the postseason as well. They needed, to your point, they need another guy out there that defense has to respect. That ain't John Metchie. That ain't Xavier Hutchinson. It ain't Robert Woods. It ain't Jared Wayne. It's Deontay Johnson.
Not Jared Wayne, unless you want to have another Tank Dell situation. Kylie Wong had a similarly horrific knee injury. And, you know, Kylie was a linebacker, wasn't, you know, nearly, nobody's as fast as Tank Dell. But I remember he came back, he got injured midway through the 2005 season.
Okay.
And it was ugly. It was really bad. And I think he tore all his ligaments, the ACL, MCL, PCL. But he came back and played the next season and had a hard time with it. You know, that was D'Amico's rookie year. And I remember sitting in the training room with Kylie, who's just putting on a heroic effort to be out there playing, and I just relayed to him what Brandy had said while she was watching, which was that D'Amico makes all the plays that Kylie used to make, and I was saying it more as a compliment to D'Amico. And Kylie was just like, thanks, Seth.
Bro.
Thanks. Like, Kylie was there about to make the play, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, D'Amico comes flying in. And that was just kind of how it went for him that
I'm
year.
Looking at, and that was Kylie's last year. It was 2006. Yeah. He played 10 games, didn't start in any games, played in 10 games, and that was it.
Yeah.
So that, well, that doesn't make me feel good about Tank.
Well, it's 20 years later, you know?
Yeah.
I gotta just hope and think. It's funny, because I had multiple ACL tears in my career, or at least multiple ACL surgeries. I had a botched revision I had to do. And I used to think of myself kind of as an expert on ACL repairs. And then I realized in having a conversation with a doctor last year, like, oh, I don't know, squat about how they do things these days.
Yeah, it's changed.
And he was explaining how they probably would do it differently this day and age and where maybe I would have recovered better, but whatever. So, yeah, I would hope that, especially with a lot of the, the growth factors and everything they use now, maybe it's way more realistic than it was back in the day.
I hope so, man. I hope so. I feel horrible. I feel horrible for Tank. Do you think that Diontae Johnson gets a normal wide receiver's amount of snaps in this game?
That's the million-dollar question in terms of, hey, if you're gambling on this game, all right, if Davis Mills starts and you've still got, I don't know why they would rest any of the offensive linemen. I'm curious to see where those guys went on vacation, by the way, but on this little mini bye week.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that. But we'll... I'd like Diontae Johnson to get as ingrained in the offense as possible. So he doesn't need any rest. He got a good chunk of rest up there in Baltimore.
Resting all year, yeah.
So I would just say, let's go find that magical Davis Mills Diontae Johnson connection if CJ's not going
to
play.
So it's going to lead us to the promised land, the mm-hmm. Davis Mills Diontae Johnson connection. All right, let's get to headlines. Rockets lose to the Heat last night, but there was a fight at the end of the game. We'll hear from all the parties involved on that. What does the NFL playoff picture look like after this weekend? Hall of Fame finalists. We got a lot of stuff to get into in headlines, and we will do it next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, Rockets lose last night to the Miami Heat. Take that music down a little bit, Jordan. That's a little bit loud. Rockets lose to the Miami Heat last night. That was the big story locally. This was another game, 104-100, the final score. The game played kind of in the mid-90s for most of the fourth quarter, and then a lot of technical fouls and free throws at the end of the game because there was a fight.
Yeah.
There was a fight at the end of this game. The Rockets blew a double-digit lead in the second half, and the Heat were up 4 points with under a minute to go in the game, and the Rockets are trying to inbound the ball. And Fred VanVleet gets called for a 5-second violation when he was clearly signaling for a timeout before 5 seconds, I thought. And so did the announcers on the game, Craig Ackerman and Ryan Hollins.
Udoka certainly thought so.
Udoka thought so. VanVleet thought so enough to where he got teed up and got kicked out of the game. Udoka eventually got kicked out of the game as well because on one of the ensuing inbounds plays with, 20 seconds to go or so, something like that, Amen Thompson and Tyler Hero of the Heat got into it with each other, grabbing each other's jerseys, and then eventually Amen Thompson tossed Tyler Hero to the ground. Like, pretty hard. Yeah, pretty hard.
Yeah.
Pretty hard. Amen Thompson gets kicked out. Ime Udoka gets kicked out. There's a whole big kerfuffle out there. No punches were thrown, but I'm guessing that Amen Thompson will probably get a suspension of some sort, maybe a game, something like that. There'll be a lot of fines. A lot of charities are going to get some money this week. Here was Ime Udoka after the game on his view of what happened between Thompson and Hero.
I didn't see it live, but I rewatched it, and they were in each other's face, bumping chest a little bit, and one guy stronger than the other.
One guy stronger than the other. I hadn't caught that the first time.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Here was Tyler Hero's version of what happened.
I guess that's what happens when someone's scoring, throwing dimes, doing the whole thing. So I get mad too.
Okay. he's allowed to do that. His team won, and Tyler Hero was outstanding last night. He scored 27 points. Nine assists in the game. He had a really good game.
It also helped, that the Rockets missed 11 straight shots as part of squandering that lead.
No doubt.
So the fact that it was Amen Thompson, I feel really good about, just because it's not like this is some fake tough guy thing out of him.
No, he's legit.
He's been a scrappy, awesome defender all year long.
Yeah.
And he admitted that there was frustration mounted the way the game was going, and then however heated they were after Fred VanVleet's injustice that he suffered, it was contentious. I like. Look, we know that this team can be scrappy. We know they play good defense. So it's not like all of a sudden I think, oh, look, okay, now they're a real tough team. I think it, for me, it's more of a highlight. Yeah, a lot of the frustration was mounting because, yet again, they cannot shoot. The shooting of the basketball, kind of an issue in modern basketball,
it is funny.
I found.
You and I have talked a lot about the parallels between the Rockets and the Texans throughout this. Throughout really the whole trajectory of the rebuild, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like from the time that Deshaun Watson and James Harden requested trades within days of each other, the trajectory of both of these franchises have been very, very similar in terms of they both bottom out, they both bring in coaches that we know you can feel are short-timers before you find the culture setter in Ime Udoka or D'Amico Ryans. And I would say the analogy continues to hold up to this very day, given the fact that the thing that seems to fail these two teams, both good teams by definition, right?
They
would be, you know, the Rockets would be a high level playoff team right now if the season ended today. The Texans are a playoff team and they won their division. So by definition, I know people don't want to hear that about the Texans right now because Wednesday.
At the very least, right. They're in the playoffs.
They're nine and seven.
Yeah.
Like they're not a bad football team. It's similar with the Rockets. And similarly, it's the offense that's failing both of them. You have zero concerns over the dog level of the defensive portions of these teams, and I don't have a concern with the Rockets' dog level overall. I have a major concern with the Texans' dog or swarm level, as we'll call it, with the Texans on the offensive side of the football.
Boy, you talk about the lame duck coaches, too, as far as just the temperament of them, where, like, Lovie Smith is a Lovie Smith. I got no issues with that. Like, he would have been a perfect bridge coach, but the David Culley and Steven Silas, both, they're gentlemen, I think, it wasn't quite the feel of what you wanted out of your football team.
No.
Or football or basketball team. So with D'Amico, the thought I had as I was listening to an article about the Jets debacle was, man, I wonder if D'Amico in his transition to becoming a head coach would be a lot easier, like a genuine head coach where he's not the defensive coordinator and the head coach, but just the overall head coach. Robert Saleh would be an awesome defensive coordinator to have. And I like Matt Burke. I think he and D'Amico work really well together.
Yeah.
But D'Amico might just trust Robert Saleh more because of the common ground and shared experiences and everything. And Robert Saleh is a hell of a defensive coordinator. So that's something to monitor a couple weeks from now.
I think
maybe.
So, too. I think that's second behind the offensive side of the ball is, should D'Amico Ryans be more of a CEO? You know, should he have less hands-on play-to-play with the defense?
Yeah. And I don't think Robert Saleh is going to get a head coaching opportunity real quick. And it's a shame because none of the Aaron Rodgers or quarterback stuff in general was his fault at all. And yet, I think he lost a lot of his shine as a head coach just because it was such a debacle and a mess the entire time.
Yeah, it sucks. If your team doesn't get the quarterback situation right, it's going to reflect poorly on your record. Speaking of the NFL, playoff picture coming into focus. The Colts are out. They lost to the Giants yesterday, so they are out of the playoffs. The Chargers clinched a spot on Saturday against New England, and there is, according to the computers, a 20% chance that the Texans could see the Chargers in the first round of the playoffs. The heavy favorite right now is that it'll be the Steelers coming to town. We talked about this a little bit in the open, but the preference, the Payne and Pendergast preference seems to be, at least in terms of matching up with rosters, the Steelers would be, you know, just based purely on Russell Wilson versus Justin Herbert, right?
Yeah. Russell Wilson versus Justin Herbert. I think the Steelers' defense would probably present more issues than the Chargers' defense. But you also brought up the great point of, man, if it's the Steelers, it's going to be half Steelers in that crowd.
Yeah, for sure.
And it may be more because of the way people feel about the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Steelers fans travel. They don't just travel well. They are everywhere.
They're everywhere.
There's probably at least 500,000 Steelers fans in the state of Texas.
I don't know what the percentage would be, but
so they come, and definitely in the entire region. So, boy, if you actually want to have a genuine home field advantage, it almost needs to be the Chargers. The Ravens, I think you get the home field advantage. I have no interest in seeing the Ravens.
There's a five, and for the reason Seth's bringing up the Ravens, there's a 5% chance they play. It's going to be one of those three teams.
Yeah.
Heavy favorite is the Steelers to be the team they play. Next would be the Chargers, the Ravens. The Ravens would have to lose to the Browns.
That's where I've flipped, by the way, Sean. I had been saying before that, man, depending on the situation, yeah, rest your guys versus Tennessee, because that's a classic, okay, last game, meaningless, you get ready. That makes sense, rest some guys.
Sure.
If it's a meaningless game. But I had been saying, well, no, I'd rather face the Ravens at home if I want to make a playoff push, because that's your best chance at beating the Ravens. I've abandoned all hope of that at this point, and I'm just saying, all right, no, I'd like, okay, let's get at least a victory. You got to do something. I don't need to see the Ravens at home. I don't need to see the Ravens again. Please.
At all. Yeah.
Please, baby Jesus, no.
Yes.
I just keep them away from me as long as possible.
Want nothing to do with them. 15 Hall of Fame finalists have been named. The class of 2025 will be announced. It's a five-man modern era class, and it includes, you know, and then they'll add on a coach and a contributor and things like that. So five of the 15 finalists will end up being Hall of Famers. The big names on the list, Eli Manning is the headliner in terms of name value. Seth has a former teammate on this list, not from the Texans, but from Jacksonville. Fred Taylor makes the final 15, Seth.
I'm not optimistic that he's going to make it, just because he's a compiler. People view him as a compiler. He had some brilliant seasons, but without being on a high profile team and without having won a Super Bowl, they don't tend to reward the compilers to the same way they might somebody else from a more dominant team.
No, and they in recent years they've been very friendly to guys who are the opposite of a compiler, like a Terrell Davis getting in, you know, who's four great years and then he got a knee injury. Like, he's in. He's a Hall of Famer. I would say, to me, the biggest lock in this class should be, it's probably Eli, but it should be Luke Kuechly, in my opinion, who I think fits that sort of description that I just had of Terrell Davis in a way. Like, Luke Kuechly didn't leave the game because of injuries that we know of, but he was in the league for, what, like 7 years, and he was a first-team All-Pro practically every year. He was the best inside linebacker in football for like a 6-year period.
Yeah.
He should be the biggest lock, in my opinion.
Kuechly is a slam dunk. Suggs is way up there on the career sacks list. So is Jared Allen. He's been up for about 5 years or so. But
yeah,
I think Jared Allen was a little bit, there's a little bit of Mark Gastineau to his game, I think, in some ways. Not as much substance as a guy like Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, I think, too, when you play for, like, five different teams like he did, you know, like, there is something when you look at these guys and you go, oh, yeah, Reggie Wayne was a Colt his whole career. There's some sort of charm about a guy being with one team his whole career.
You know, the interesting thing about Fred Taylor is that everybody above him in the career rushing yardage
is in.
Everybody that's above him is, except for that's eligible, is in. Frank Gore's not in, but he's not eligible yet.
Adrian Peterson,
who's not, he's gonna make it.
He's a lock. That's the way I've always looked at Fred Taylor, was like, he's the, because I think Gore gets in like the ultimate compiler, but I think he gets in. Yeah, Fred Taylor, man, good player. Obviously he's a Hall of Fame finalist. All right, those are your headlines from the weekend.
Boy, okay. Never mind. We'll go ahead. Okay. I just look at the guy above him. Like, Thurman Thomas and Fred Taylor played the exact same number of years.
Yeah.
And yet, it's because Thurman Thomas obviously was on really good teams and had, it's a different story.
Yep. All right. I've started seeing a trend on social media, and it involves C.J. Stroud, and it needs to stop. But it does beg the question, what exactly is wrong with C.J. Stroud this year as compared to last year? We'll get to that coming up next.